Jonah, and in our reading from the gospel, we have some similar things going on. Different messages from Jonah, different message from Jesus, but at the heart of them, the Lord is looking for the same thing. He's looking for people to recognize their sin, repent of it, and turn to the Lord. And I want to illustrate exactly what repentance is by looking at two biblical stories, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. King David had it all. He was successful, he was wealthy, he was popular. He was the national hero when he was king. He was unrivaled in war. He is the writer of many of our Psalms. He was kind of the spiritual leader of the people of Israel. He was made Lord by the king. The people accepted him and loved him for it. He had it all. But then one day, when he was standing where he shouldn't have been, he looked out and he saw her. And he wanted her. So he sent his people to go and get her and bring her to him, and he committed the sin of adultery. He took for his own the wife of another man. But David's sin didn't stop there, because when he saw that she became pregnant, he thought that he better hide his affair. And so in order to hide it, he called this woman's husband back from war, hoping that this husband coming back from battle would want to enjoy relations with his wife. But this woman's husband was more honorable than David. And seeing that his brothers in arms were not able to come home, he didn't feel like it would be right for him to enjoy the pleasures of home, and so he slept out on his doorstep. He didn't do what David was hoping he would do, and so David couldn't hide this woman's pregnancy under her husband. But as often is the case, one sin leads to another. And so David commands that this man go back to battle, and not only that, but that the commanders put him in the front lines, the place of most danger, hoping that this man would be slain, would die in battle. David eventually, or basically, commits murder. One sin compiles upon another, adultery, murder, the man is slain in battle. And when it all becomes exposed, when David's sin is laid before him, David is broken. He is sorrowful. He is contrite. He is hurt. He knows he has been caught and exposed. That's one man. The other we'll look at briefly is Judas. His name is synonymous with betrayal. Judas was chosen to be part of something truly marvelous. He was chosen by Jesus himself to follow Jesus around the countryside, and Judas had this great advantage of learning and sitting at the feet of the Master himself. For as many as 3 years, Judas and the rest of the disciples sat at the feet of Christ, hearing the words of Jesus himself. But Judas was a man haunted by demons, crushed by his own temptations and his own desires. We don't know exactly why Judas did what he did. The Gospels don't lay it out for us perfectly clear. But what we do know is that he committed the most famous betrayal in human history. And after he did that, and after he saw what Jesus went through in his beatings, in his trial, and in his humiliation, and that he was going to be executed on the cross, like David, Judas was broken by his sin. He was crushed by it. He was sorrowful for it. He hated himself because of his sin. And so we have two men caught and broken by their own sin. Two men absolutely sorrowful and contrite for their actions, but here is where their stories differ. Judas is terrorized by his conscience. He's terrorized by the fact that he betrayed Christ. But he doesn't know and cannot see that the very one he betrayed is the one he should look to for comfort. And despite the years of sitting at the feet of Christ and hearing the very word of God audibly spoken to him, the most important part didn't take. He is sorrowful for what he's done, but he can't find a way out of his sorrow. He even goes before the Pharisees and confesses his sin before them. He says, "I am a sinner for what I have done." But all they do is say, "Well, what's that to us?" And not knowing a way out of his sin, not knowing a way out of his sorrow, Judas kills himself. He hangs himself on a tree. His sorrow has no faith to grab onto. He can't see with eyes of faith what he should hold onto. David knows there's no way out of his sorrow, no way out of his despair or his sin either. He too confesses that he is a sinner before God. He is lost to it. He confesses this to the prophet Nathan, the one who exposed him of his sin. But David hears something that Judas did not hear. The prophet Nathan tells David that you shall not die for your sin, even though he deserves it. The prophet Nathan tells him, "The Lord has put away your sin. The Lord has forgiven you." And David hears this with ears of faith. He grabs onto it. He holds onto it. And he knows that he is forgiven. His guilt is released. His sorrow has a place to go. The call of Jonah, the call of Jesus, is to repent and to believe. To hear the word of God about your sin, but it doesn't stop there. Because to hear the word about our sin and just to be left in our sorrow is nothing. It is guilt. It is death. It is the place where we go to die. But thankfully, you get to hear a word beyond that. And that is this word that you hopefully hear every Sunday morning, that you are forgiven. That even though your sin might be as bad as Judas, as bad as David, as bad as the city of Nineveh and all those people that Christ is preaching to, you get to hear this word. That Jesus died for you, that you are forgiven. And so with ears of faith, hear this word, receive it, and know that your sorrow has a place to go. Your guilt has a person to reside on, and it's not you. It's Jesus. Your sin has a place to die, and it's not in you. It's in Jesus. This is what repentance is to hear these words and believe it, to know and to receive it. And so now this morning we get the pleasure of coming before the table of the Lord, coming up to the altar and again hearing those words, "Body of Christ given for you, blood of Christ shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sin." Let us pray. Gracious, merciful, wonderful Lord, We give you thanks for these words. Help us to hear them, to release our guilt, our sorrow, our contrite nature up to you, to have hearts, ears, eyes of faith to receive all that you have given us, and to know the blessed assurance of your salvation. We pray this in your name. Amen.